Welcome to the Sounds of Success, brought to you by the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. This audio magazine is a tool for generating profitable ideas and for taking your business to new levels of excellence and performance. Here you'll find real-life case studies of school owners just like you who have applied our proven successful business and marketing principles to their school and are creating the business of their dreams as a result.
Frank Brown.
Okay, good. Who else?
Daphne Bowser.
Hey, Daphne, how are you doing?
Good.
Who else?
Gonzalez.
Oh, good. We got a bunch of the Mile High Karate staff here. Good. Who else? Hey, let's start out with Daphne.
Yes, sir.
Let's bounce off of you and Frank for a second, then we'll add on some of the other coaching guys as they come in. We just spent 5 hours or so on Friday putting together the spring marketing plan. Why don't you outline what some of the key components that for our schools we've seen are going to be effective for the spring?
Another thing that we are doing is we're booking up birthday parties. Birthday parties are going to be hitting really hard, so we're taking all of our students that have birthdays between January and June and booking up birthday parties.
Okay.
We're also going to be right at the first week of January when they get all their information, all the kids get back into school. We're going to be saturating the schools with the children's hospital flyer.
Right.
And we're going to be doing some local newspapers and the big newspaper, hopefully an insert for our areas. We have like 3 schools right here in this area, so we're going to try to do that.
Okay. Go back to our on top of the birthday parties. What's the process you're going through to set up birthday parties?
We sent out a flyer. We have 2 different types of birthday parties we'll do. We'll do 1 hour free of charge where they supply everything, we supply an instructor. Or we have the Master Club birthday party, which would be $150 for 15 kids. Includes cake and pizza and the instructor.
Yeah.
But we sent flyers to all of our current students. We're probably going to be adding their birth date to a registration form for the after school programs, so that we can also send flyers to all the kids that participate in the after school program.
Yeah.
We are calling them and saying, you know, that we're booking up for parties and wanted to make sure that we could get you guys in.
Yeah.
We just had a birthday party a week ago, and presented him a black belt that he gets to wear for a month after his birthday, and then now all the kids are asking him where he got his black belt and what's on it. Birthday party, he gets to stand up in line with the other black belts when we line up the class. So we make it special for him for a whole month, so we have other kids coming up to us and asking, you know, how do I get my birthday party if we haven't talked to him already?
Yeah. Okay. Good. Frank, build on that. What's some of the ways that birthday parties specifically are going to be more effective in the spring?
The follow up and the setup is we've changed a little bit, sir, as you know.
Yeah.
With the setup, we're even if we do the free birthday party, we volunteer to send out the invitations, to call them. We hand it just like an info call. We tell them exactly how to get to the school, what to expect, what to wear, what time to arrive.
Yeah.
And that's been making a huge deal. Make sure that in all the activities we do in the birthday parties that we have multiple winners. That way they win a pass for 2 free weeks.
Right.
And when the parents actually drop the child off, we have them fill out the information sheet for insurance purposes. And then when the parents come to pick up the children, we'll say, you know, most of the children have won 2 free weeks. We are able to take advantage of that. And, we're getting parents to set appointments right then and there. And in a follow-up phone call and in a follow-up letter, we remind the parents that they did have an opportunity to take advantage of 2 free weeks as a special gift from the birthday child. They've arranged for them to receive a free karate uniform and 2 weeks of lessons.
Yeah.
And follow-up letter is really well written. Daphne wrote that, and that's been working really well.
Okay. Frank, pick up from where Daphne left off. What were some of the things that we came up with on Friday as far as focus for the first quarter to get 25 to 30 enrollments per school?
We spent a huge amount of time talking about other activities inside the school besides gym teacher for the day.
Yeah.
We talked about some of the school talks. We talked about some different activities besides school talks so we can get in the schools and talk, how the instructor could be a guest of the student for lunch, a good way to get into the school. We spent quite a bit of time talking about those activities.
Okay. Okay. And then expand from there. What else would be the prime movers to make sure we're at the enrollment numbers we need?
We talked a lot about VIC as far as the graduations and how to have open houses and have students bring witnesses.
Yeah.
We talked again about the Children's Hospital flyers. Littleton has two different pizza establishments putting flyers on top of the boxes starting the 1st of January.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about that. We're doing all the notes. We also talked about every month having a non-karate-related activity at the school for the students to bring a friend to.
Right.
Something that we just started, we got in the mail today, is every month we're having a pass or a card for a special occasion for the kids to pass out to their classmates.
Okay. Okay. So, describe that.
Well, for January, we have a New Year's card. And in the New Year's card, it gives they'll be in packs of 30, and all of our students will get to give them to their classmates when they go back to school for New Year's to try something new and exciting.
Right.
For Valentine's Day, obviously, we have a Valentine's Day card in February. In March, we have a St. Patrick's Day card try karate for St. Patrick's Day. So every month there's a holiday, and we tie in a card they can pass out to their friends at school.
Right. Okay. Okay, good. Good. Well, good. Hey, James. Still there, James?
Me?
Yeah. Okay. Well, why don't you walk people through what your first quarter marketing plan looks like for a couple minutes here, and then we'll rotate around and see if we can get some new ideas.
Okay, well, I don't know that we're really going to find anything new today. Most of us have heard all this stuff before, and it's just a matter of doing it.
Yeah.
School talks and after-school programs, we haven't had any success setting any after-school programs up at this point, but I think after the new year we're going to have a couple of after-school programs kick off. We just have done some legwork for that. We do school talks all year round, and, of course, after Christmas those pick up a lot. Direct mail is our big home run. We've been using InfoUSA and purchasing lists and then sending out the Keith Hafner postcards to these guys and just doing it actually really cheaply on our own little copy machine, black and white, and they've been pulling in great.
Yeah.
So that's one of the main things we're going to be doing is focusing a lot more with that. I'm probably going to go to get members and jump up there a little bit.
Right.
Follow-up mail to all of our unenrolled prospects. Just continue to mail to those. If you'd be surprised, I don't know how many people on this call that are just thinking that if someone doesn't enroll that they're not going to. You know, we just had someone come in last night that one of my guys lost him, and I told her to go get him again, and this lady called him back and got him back in, and they paid in full last night for a 12-month program where the other guy just let him slip through his fingers because he didn't say the right things or do the right things, whatever. So you've got to follow up. So that's our main thing is following up with the people that haven't enrolled, and that's probably the best list that we're going to have. We're also going to hand out a free month certificate to all the parents, and we've been really hitting the parents hard about getting on the floor with us. When you get four or five or six of the parents on the floor, everybody else just kind of follows.
Yeah.
Of course, ValPak and all the marriage mail, we stay current with that every month.
Let me step you back for a second. What type of things are you mailing to the lost intros that you're following up on?
Actually, we're mailing anything you can think about. We mail. I've got a lot of the Keith Hafner stuff, so anybody that doesn't have his ultimate collection of ads should get that.
That's good. Yeah.
It's awesome. You just pretty much verbatim type what he's get you got to work at it a little bit. You got to type what he's got in there and then put your own information in. But we send out the postcards, and I stick with postcards primarily.
Yeah.
Then I'm sending out the big info kit, which is a kind of a 9x12 white envelope with basically our flyer on the front of it that says info kit, free gifts inside, and the free gifts are a free uniform and a $100 gift certificate to use toward the tuition if they call us within 7 days. And it has basically that big 10-page letter that he had done. $10,000, and that does wonders when people read the long form and they come back in.
You know, we've had 5 or 6 people come in and enroll just because of that have come in before. So those things and postcards are primarily what we mail to them. And we just keep on our mailing list about upcoming events or spring camp and summer camps and those things. And a lot of times that's what gets them to come in and enroll is, you know, the timing wasn't right before.
Right, right. So pretty much all the stuff you would send to students about special events and stuff, you're sending to them as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got an email, you know, we blast them with an email about all the upcoming events. And, of course, with WebMation, they've got an opt-out. If they don't want to get any more emails, they don't have to. So we just send out everything that's coming up, all the events, so they know what's going on and just kind of stay in touch with them a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, okay. Well, keep going. I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. Demonstrations, we always do mall demonstrations around March. They call us in for the St. Francis Hospital Healthcare Week, and we do a big demonstration at the mall, and we always pull 4 or 5 students from that. Handing out guest passes to all the students for their friends, and Easter egg hunt coming up. We try to sponsor another Easter egg hunt in the city with little certificates for free things, free months and things like that at our school that they can stuff into the eggs and the kids can find those. And then, of course, we invite all the kids out with their friends and family for our own Easter egg hunt. And we always supply about three month free memberships for just the guests. So we kind of have two Easter egg hunts, one for our students and then one for the guests. And, of course, the guests always get the free memberships. And then we end up converting them into a full student within a month. We're changing the signage in our window. We always put a big full window flyer, whatever our current month flyer is or current seasonal flyer is. That's blown up in the window to about 4x4, and that does wonders. People just driving by and stopping and reading it. And, you know, we've got a little box on the outside of our window that people can pull flyers and things from, so we change that regularly. And then,
yeah,
of course, we've got our Yellow Page ad running in both of the phone books in Indianapolis here.
Well, let's open that up to questions. Anybody have any questions from James' marketing plan on things he's doing and how that gets the various pieces to work?
Yeah, I have a question on the window signage. What kind of format is it? A nice vinyl banner? Is it the black and white thing? What kind of format?
It's full color, and it's I got it from Kinko's. They've got it. It's kind of like it's hard to describe. It's not vinyl. It's a special kind of fabric. It's very weather resistant. You can keep it forever. It's kind of like high gloss, like a high gloss photo paper that's somewhat laminated, I guess is the best way to look at it. It's not like anything else we've had before, but it's very attractive and very professional looking. And I take those down out of the windows and go when I go to the demonstrations at the malls. We set up a little tripod with those things attached to a dry erase board for marketing different programs in our school.
Does that mean that, how much does it cost?
I think, I want to say it was like $70 or $75. Yeah, I think that was one of the things that we did in the past 6 months that really drove a lot of walk-by traffic into our school because they can stop by over the weekend and kind of see it life-size there and look at all the you know, bullet points and things like that on the flyer and really get a feel for what our school is about, and then they can take a small version of it with them.
Yeah, and you don't particularly have what I think we would describe as a high-traffic, high-visibility location.
No, not at all.
Your visibility isn't bad. The traffic in your center is fairly non-existent.
Right.
And that's doing pretty well for you, you're saying.
Yeah.
James, let's go back to direct mail. You've been having some success with Get Members. What have you been doing with them?
No, I haven't done Get Membership. That's the next step for me. I've been doing InfoUSA, purchasing a list and then sending out the postcards to those lists.
Okay, okay. Which would be probably the same list that Get Members could come up with.
Probably.
Is your biggest success with direct mail coming from following up on your former prospect base, or is it coming from somewhere else?
Yeah, it's coming from both. We get a lot of new business through InfoUSA, people that haven't been here before, but this time we're able to target, you know, through InfoUSA you can ask for, you know, our target market is this. We look for people that are making $60,000 or more, they own their own homes, and they have kids in their family from 4 to 12 years old. And once we get that, that's who we get the mail to. So
right.
We already know that the people that are looking at it are going to have kids and they're going to be interested in what we're doing, and then we want to pull the family in as well.
Right. Okay, okay. You're just mailing kind of anything and everything to them.
Yeah, yeah. And we've got the drip system postcards where there's, I've got a series of four postcards that go out, and basically each one of them, the first one just introduces myself to them and allows and offers them a free uniform and 2 weeks of free training. And then the second one, you know, hints to, you know, or kind of goes back and says, you know, I sent you this postcard. You didn't respond. Maybe things were busy. We still want to extend this offer to you. Hope to see you soon. And please give us a call in the next 72 hours, and we'll give you, you know, whatever it is, free T-shirt or something else on that one. And the third one hints to the first two of them. The last one basically just says, you've been up to your elbows in alligators, and, you know, you've been really busy. Understand that. But we would like to extend the offer to you, so we're going to leave it for 30 more days. And if for some reason you cannot benefit from this, give this card to a friend, and they can use it.
Yeah.
So that's essentially the drip system postcard, or just four of those.
Okay.
And, of course, we send out the big information kit, which costs about 83 cents to send, but then, you know, a couple dollars in the production. So maybe $2 or $3 from that. But if one person comes back and enrolls, then it's paid for the entire, you know, campaign.
Okay. Well, let's talk also while we're on this about the family add-ons. And when I came out to visit, we had a little bit of a home run on that. Tell them about that, and then what you've been doing since to create family add-ons.
The family add-ons was something that we always did, but not to the degree that we're doing it now. And when you came out and you know, I think most people get kind of jaded of the people that are sitting on the benches because they're like 6 years in the school. You know, we don't expect them. You know, I've already talked to him and I've already talked to her and I've already tried to get them and they're just not interested. And sometimes you just have to get out there and get in their face through, just like mailing, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have to hear it 7 or 8 times before they'll actually do something. And, you know, in the back of their minds, they're stewing a little bit. You just have to keep with them. And that's what we've been doing. And you know, my program director, Debbie, is just awesome with that. And she'll tease the parents from the sideline. And you know, for instance, we had one guy that's up there, really big guy. He's going to be our Jared Fogle. Really big guy that's lost already about 10 pounds in the last month. And he sat on the bench for 2 months, and she just kept on teasing him. And then she would say something like this. You know, one of the other parents was in the classroom, you know, on the floor, and she'd say, I'm sorry, Tom, you know, we don't have a partner for it because Mr. Fiskus won't get out with you and practice. And then she'd embarrass him like that, but he kept coming back. And so every class she'd say something else like that. And finally he gave in and got on the floor, and now he's our biggest spokesperson. And then we've done the same thing with four or five other parents in the past month. Exactly the same way, just basically teasing him a little bit from the sidelines. And, you know, when you get, like I said, it's a trickle effect. Once you get three or four of them out there, the rest of them are looking at it and saying, well, if they're going to do it, I guess I can do it as well. I think most people, you know, view martial arts as kid stuff these days when, you know, it's not kid stuff. It's for families and it's for adults as well. And once you get three or four of the adults out there to show that, and when they start seeing out that the adults are sweating and learning and having fun as well, they're apt to follow.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. What else? Tell them a little bit of, not only we've talked about this on one of the calls, about my little visit out there. What was valuable? What have you done differently since?
We've done a lot of things differently. The main value that we got from it was just having a fresh perspective, somebody that has had a lot of experience, and of course, if you own 9 schools, you're doing something right, and just having somebody come out and say, yeah, I think you're doing this right, which gives us tremendous confidence to continue doing more of it and better, or to say, well, I think you're doing that pretty good, but we could tweak it a little bit, and let's try to do it, you know, maybe add this or take this away. And just those little tiny details that, of course, as you know, it's kind of like you go to your house and you own a pet. While you're there, you don't even realize it stinks until somebody else comes in and says, do you have a cat in the house or something like that? And we kind of get used to our schools like that, looking at the everyday operation, and just, you know, it's hard to see when you're right in the middle of it, what is wrong with it. It's kind of like the parents, you get your backseat drivers on the side of the benches there telling the kids what they're doing wrong when they really have no experience themselves, but because they're not in the class, they can kind of see it. It's kind of the same thought process there, and having you come in. And basically all you did was you come in, you looked around at the school inside and out, and then while the classes were going on, you stood outside the windows and observed as kind of a spectator the entire operation, what was happening, and were able to come back in and say, here's where you're weak spots are, here's where your strong points are. If you just do this and that and the other, you get some results. And, you know, of course, since I paid to have you come out, I took it very seriously and did what you said, and the results are happening.
Yeah. Is it something you'd recommend for the other coaching clients?
I'd recommend for every coaching client. Anybody that's on the phone call right now that's a coaching client that's not doing that, is you're wasting a completely awesome resource that's, you know, that the Mile High guys maybe not don't even realize that they have at their fingertips.
Yeah,
I think everybody should do it.
You're never a prophet in your own land. There's a little bit of that anywhere.
Yeah, and that I think that right there was another of the benefits. You know, having you come in and say the same exact things to my guys that I tell them. You know, it means more.
Yeah, being the outside expert always has a big impact on staff.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, I've done staff meetings for Tim, Dave Kovar, and the West Coast guys, and, you know, a bunch of others. It's amazing how much more people listen when it's not the voice they're used to listening to.
Absolutely.
You know, even if it's exactly the same message. Well, let's move on. Hey, Steve White.
Yes, sir.
Now, why don't you walk through your first quarter marketing plan with everybody, and then we'll get some ideas from you.
Okay. If it's okay, ask a couple of questions about
the mission.
Absolutely. Seems like we all seem to be kind of on the same path here. First question, we want to get involved in some of the school talks. I think it was James that mentioned that,
yeah.
As well as some others. What's the format that people are using?
Well, let's go through and take a poll, and let me give you a little bit of background on what we used to do extensively, probably go back to doing more before we started doing these school programs.
Okay.
What our original version of the school talks were was usually called Gym Teach for the Day. And we would go in and in gym classes, just the same as we do with promoing the after-school program, we would teach all the gym classes in a school. And unlike what some of the school talks end up being, is we would end up with 100% of the school coming through. Now, the only thing that was different about that from what we're doing with the school program is we would send home a permission slip. And the permission slip would be just name, address, phone number, a little checkbox that would say something like, do you want more information about the school? But it had a paragraph or so description of what we're going to do in the class. I had the parents signing off that it was okay for their child to participate in that. When the school asked why we needed that, we'd say, well, really is important for us to know everybody who's participated in one of our programs, and our insurance company would like to have, the liability waiver, as weak as it is, to know that, we have parent permission for the kids to participate in anything we do. So we really need that other participants. And typically had very little difficulty getting that. And so then what would happen, and, you know, we changed strategy over the years because our original strategy was we'd telemarket to them all, you know, right behind the deal. And as the years have gone by, people have gotten more and more sensitive to that, and it became a good way to get, you know, never invited back. So it became more of a mailing list and mailing follow-through. I think the more current version of what I've seen, some of the methodology, is the highlights of it is having a class on the following Saturday morning or having a couple of opportunities where the kids are specifically invited to that specific class, which I think is an important component, so you get a higher participation rate following from whatever the program is, and giving them some kind of pass, obviously. The downside is I don't see many people getting much of a mailing list from it unless the students actually show up for the school. And, of course, the biggest positive of the whole thing is getting a mailing list built so you can keep, as James was just talking about, keep following up on them forever.
Right.
Is that helping a little bit, Steve?
Yeah, it did. Because what we're trying to do, I mean, a lot of the things that people are talking about, we're doing, but we don't do them all at once and consistently, and I think that's why we're not seeing the 20 enrollments a month. We seem to be averaging like 11 to 14, you know.
Yeah.
So this year is our year to start scrunching this together and getting more things going. Question for yourself and others on, I love the idea of the charity flyers. You do the Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
And you made a point of it at one of the meetings that you picked a charity that didn't have to be explained.
Yeah.
And no, we don't have that particular type of charity here. I don't know. Does anybody have any direction on how to go about finding a charity that be it local or what have you that would fit that bill?
Well, see, we did it twice before. With first was an organization I've been involved with for 20 years called Project Concern International. And it was an international medical organization that dealt predominantly with medical problems in Appalachian, Tijuana, and around the world. And they had originally done like a 16-page, like you see some of the tournaments do. like a newsprint flyer. That was a, and we held a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we produced this 16-page flyer, it was about 8 pages were on the karate school and 8 pages were on the walk, and used it with that. Then we shifted from that to Sporting Kick Drugs Out of America. And the problem we were finding with the Kick Drugs Out of America thing is a lot of times the schools would say, well, that's great that you're helping the schools in Texas, but what about the schools in Colorado? You know, so it was, there was a little bit in both cases of, it's great that you're helping the kids in Appalachia or Tijuana, but what about Colorado? And with Kick Drugs, even more so, well, it's great that they're doing this program in the middle schools in Texas, but what about here? So that's why we ended up shifting to something that was perceived to be more local. But I think as long as you have first the, you know, freestanding 501c3, somebody who's recognized, in other words, not just your own little in-house charity, although we have that as well, that starts to get the ball rolling. There's nothing at all wrong with it. It's useful to have your own little in-house charity set up, and you can start doing stuff under that that truly is, you know, truly is charitable.
Right.
You know, I have sometimes a problem with the idea of raising money so you can pay yourself for a scholarship for somebody who needs karate lessons. That was one of the ideas that I've been floating around. I never was too happy with that idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is there a particular place you would point somebody to go to kind of to get a hold of a charity?
Well, think about just who is well known and well respected in your area. I mean, you have nationally a March of Dimes. St. Jude's Hospital
mm-hmm.
is a national charity, but they're very well respected with their work with children.
Okay.
And from what I hear, and this is important, you know, I think personally, is the money really goes where they say it's going to go.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of those, there's been some problems with that.
Right.
You know, they spend so much money on fundraising that the actual end user, so to speak, never actually sees anything.
Right.
You know, I hate to be involved with that.
Right.
But, you know, St. Jude's might be a wonderful one.
Okay. I'm looking for a start point because we definitely want to get this rolling this year on that aspect. I like that.
You know, and St. Jude's is very aggressive in the martial arts industry. We're trying to get kickathons and so forth. Something like this would be right up their alley. And I'm sure you wouldn't have trouble getting some kind of letter on their letterhead to help promote and support it.
Right. Okay. And I'll start there. Then we're doing the birthday parties. Our focus on that has been not real aggressive, but they pretty much go into our mailing list in our computer. We've been doing well with the buddy days. We're working another thing we're trying to work on this year, more public service rotations or different types of buddy programs and stuff, whether it be through some of the national things or just something local where we're doing some public service, women's self-defense or awareness. We even do some behavioral stuff for parents. One of the black belts I have is a doctor of behavioral psychology, so he does something. So try to utilize that to bring traffic through the school. One of the things we did, we picked up Jay Abraham's 93 referral systems, and we patented out a very consistent referral system, and then we're trying to do intermittent ones like the cards for Halloween, the Valentine's Day, and then we try to tag on. When we were out there with you there was one of the ladies was speaking from your school, and I forgive me for not remembering her name, but they were doing drive where they were having a drawing at the end for $100. So we're trying to intermittent with those types of things. And then the direct mail, if I could ask James, when you were giving your demographics, what you were shooting for, the 60,000 and over, homeowner and so on, as far as the income level, did you have a specific reason why you picked that number?
Sure. I want to be able to afford my program.
Okay.
I mean, that's it.
Because we've been doing Get Members over the course of the year, which I've talked to Mr. Oliver about, and I'm not sure where I need to tweak some of the demographics because we didn't do real well with that. And the only difference that I can remember that we switched is we used to do $50,000 and up, and then we moved it up to 75. And I don't know if it made that group too small or what may be the reason for that. We've done well with the Keith After postcards. And I also do something else. I take a letter and put it on a legal size paper, and we fold it in four, basically, so the headline of the letter starts off, and on the back of it looks like an envelope, so the letter's kind of pretty much open. And we've had really good luck with that using USA, I think it was, no, Best Lists, I'm sorry, I think they're out of Arizona, where we used a 50,000 marker for the home and so on. So anybody have any thoughts on that? I mean, when we seem to have gone up, it seemed like our return was not there.
You know, it's always hard to judge what it is that's happening. I know for our own schools, we did quite a bit of Give Members type of postcard mailings, both in May and in September. And in May had very good results, and in September had very bad results.
Okay.
Well, I don't have any good answer for you.
Sure.
Typically, we tweak the income and the radius based upon budget. So how much do we want to spend on it? And if we let's say they come up with at 50,000 and up in a 4 mile radius, they come up with 5,000 names. But we want to mail really maybe 7,500 pieces three times, so we need 2,500. Then we'll start decreasing the radius and increasing the income range. But there is definitely, and I think different schools are going to be a little different. Each school has their own personality,
mm-hmm.
and you may find your school doing real well with a blue collar group or a lower middle class group, where if you start going for the higher income, both either the reputation that you have in the immediate area or the mindset that those people have in your neighborhood may not be a good fit.
Right.
You know, I've seen several schools, LaValle and Thorpe in New York comes to mind. Yes, he was very much a blue-collar school, you know, and the people were paying a fair amount of money for his program, but it certainly wasn't predominantly a high-end school at the time. And, you know, that was what their niche was, and it worked just fine.
Okay.
And I've seen that 22 years ago, Junior E's best school was in one of the worst neighborhoods. It was just they had a clientele that was, you know, gravitated to the instructor there, and it worked fine.
Hmm.
So,
now, are you able to pick? I heard you say radius. Are you able to have the list molded by the radius of mileage, or is it strictly a zip code type search?
You can do both.
You can do both.
You can. Okay.
You know, I typically target zip codes.
Okay.
And target zip codes based upon where we're already drawing. You know, so if you got an established school, you know, you look at where people are coming to you from naturally anyway,
right,
and work on getting deeper into those neighborhoods rather than try to break new ground. And again, sometimes that's just psychology. You know, there you have, people have a tendency to go a certain direction to shop in a neighborhood or whatever, and, you know, rather than buck that trend, you want to go with it as much as possible.
Stay with that, okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. But you mentioned Buddy Days. What kind of effect success have you had with Buddy Days, and how do you structure it to be effective?
Well, we used to do Buddy Days in a very kind of haphazard, you know, you bring a buddy in type of deal. Then what we started doing actually a few months ago is setting up a specific class on a Saturday for their buddy. And what we found is we used to invite them into the class, like on, you know, on our cyclic week, a week three, bring in a buddy, and they worked with them in class, and we found it to be, I think it disjointed the class a little bit, or maybe the instructors felt like that, and that got carried through. But when we segregated time frames on Saturday, one for the kids and one for the adults, and that seemed to work much better. We were able to key in on specific things where they could work with their buddy and do, you know, a lot of, you know, kind of high energy, fun exposure type drill, and we kind of tweaked it. It resembles a little bit of an introductory lesson, and each time we've done that, we've signed people up. Sometimes it's only two or three, or, you know, we've had one time that was five people came out of the that very specific buddy day and signed up. So I think treating it more like a group intro versus having them join the class seemed to work for us, and we kind of promote it like about 4 weeks in advance.
That, yeah,
you know, Buddy Day's coming up, and we actually have a number that we want in the class, and we just let the number keep shrinking as we get closer. Just a psychological thing that there's only three spots left, kind of thing.
Right.
And I don't know. That seemed to, I don't know, may not work next year, but so far the last three Buddy Days we have been very successful, in my opinion. You know, versus, you know, to me, two or three people from that class was a success.
Yeah. Now you've got a theme going on in your conversation about these various activities, and the theme is systematizing the processes at work versus kind of shooting from the hip consistently.
Well, you've been teaching me that because I have never done it that way. So I'm trying to keep very, very aware of what we're doing. We write down the procedures, we follow it, and if it doesn't work, then we try to play with one or two of them and then try to repeat it and watch our results. So what we're trying to build is a format for each one of these, a system that we use.
You bet.
And that's something that you've been hammering home at me for a while, and it's taken effect finally.
Okay. And there's something I think that's real important on the flip side of that, too, is when you start to do that, what you do is you remember the things that worked, and you also make an effort to stop repeating failures.
Yes.
And it's so frequent that I see schools, and they'll say, well, you know, last year we did this, it worked real well. Will I be done this year? No.
Right.
I'll give you a real simple example, and it's not something that I particularly like as a marketing tool, but one of our schools sits right between three restaurants and a hair salon, and it's in a grocery store shopping center. It's a very high-profile shopping center, and our program director there went out for a couple hours at lunch hour between the restaurants and got I think it was five or six appointments and three enrollments off of just going out with clipboard. Now, I've never been a big fan of going out with a clipboard, but if you get that kind of results in an hour or so, you know, the question is, why don't you do that every day? And what he did, of course, is he did it once, went, wow, that worked really well, and never did it again. And I think there's a real tendency to do, you know, a big spring promotion, it worked really well, then the next year you're trying to, you know, sit down and think of something new. Rather than say, well, this worked really well, why don't we do this again? And now why don't we do it in the summer as a summer promotion, why don't we do it in the fall as a fall promotion?
Right.
Questions so far on what Steve was talking about? No? No? Okay. We have Doug on the line, right? Is Doug still on the line? No, I think we lost Doug. Greg, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Yeah. Greg, you have a much more sophisticated operation. Why don't you walk us through your marketing plan a little bit for the spring?
Okay, well, we're starting out by, a lot of the standard things that we do that you guys have all mentioned, staying consistent with birthday parties, and we've got some specific, we actually were trying to do a buddy day format. I believe I talked to Master Oliver about this, where you do something on Friday and then you repeat, you have a different thing on Saturday, where the buddy day was like, we're going to do one in January that's a video game tournament, and then we're going to follow it on Saturday with a buddy board breaking day, so that for them to compete in the tournament they have to bring their buddy. And then they could come back the next day for a board breaking day, which can be separately promoted as well. So that's how we've changed that a little bit.
You bet.
And then we're gonna we've got newspaper inserts that we're using, and this might be something I could recommend everybody look into. In Arizona, I know it was different in Colorado, but in Arizona we can actually target the newspaper inserts. So instead of spending $400 and getting 10,000 that go out to everybody, I spend $400 and I get 10,000 that go out specifically to my target group. So instead of me spending $400, I have...
Let me explain what you just meant by targeting. You can actually target not just geographically, but you can target by household type, including income.
Yes. Thanks for being more specific on that. Yeah. So it really saves a lot of money, and you're hitting the people that you want to target. The other advantage of that is it's actually $480 per 10,000, and Valpak might be $300, but Valpak's just one coupon, and this is a full-page, double-sided insert, and I haven't really tried doing these smaller inserts. I'm really just getting on this more, but what it effectively means is, like, instead of me just mailing one time to them in a month, I'm mailing four times, or inserting four times.
Yeah, that's great. And what's your results been from that so far?
We really haven't done it enough to for me to be confident about any results. We haven't seen a whole lot out of it. But I know the first targeting we did, there were some errors on the targeting, so they didn't even charge me for it. And the second one we did, we tried one right before Thanksgiving, and I think that was kind of a weird time. I wanted to try it, but I think it was a poor decision there. I'm anxious to see what we're going to get here. Now, so we're doing the mailing inserts. I also found that I was able to get a really good price for the postcards from the same company that does the newspaper inserts. The Arizona Republic is the newspaper in town here. And so we're getting a really good price on those. So we're doing every week they're going to get, on Wednesday they'll get a newspaper insert, and then the end of the first week of January, and then every 2 weeks we'll get three different postcards that we send out pretty much to the same target list.
Good, good.
And I'm buying a school in California, and they were able to do California too, so it worked out really well, and that's more convenient for me.
You know, talk for a second, because you and I are in the same situation. You're directly controlling now six locations.
Well, seven. And plus the one in California now.
Oh, okay.
We just haven't opened the seventh one, but I'm already starting to have to do the marketing for it. So.
Yeah. There you go. And what your challenges are a little different than most of the guys, other than our challenge, which is getting consistent systems, getting them to happen consistently across the schools, and trying to automate as much as humanly possible.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's really I do believe, and I think it's a good thing to talk about for everybody, is that, you know, one of the reasons I can have seven schools is because when I had one, I tried to automate it too.
Yes.
And that's the key. I mean, I don't think that there's any way, if I was trying to do it. The other thing is to try to plan it out ahead of time. I mean, I've been trying to plan this stuff out since early before November. You know what we're doing for January.
You bet, you bet. And in fact, you've got a pretty strong plan for the entire year of 2005, tweaking as you go, of course, and I'd say pretty close to 100% for the first 6 months of the year.
I hope so. I'm actually trying to add some more things, and you guys have come up with some. I like the Easter egg hunt, and I've got some notes that I'm writing down, and I would like to keep adding on, though. You know, I mean, I don't think there's any way it'd be too much.
No. I mean, it's you know, the only time it becomes too much is when you start spending money that doesn't get a reasonable return on investment.
Absolutely.
But anytime it's sweat equity, or anytime it's something that doesn't cost an awful lot of money, it's worst case is good exposure. And keep going on your trend there, on some of the things that you're going to be doing there in Arizona.
I'm going to do a much better job, I think, of trying to get into the schools, as we've talked about. I think that a couple tweaks that you suggested about doing just a three-week class twice a week is much better than what I was doing before, and promotionally. We're also going to do work with the Phoenix Children's Hospital. We're working on that, getting that approved, and try to do some work with the Boy Scouts. And, you know, I think I have enough contacts with my schools that there's hopefully we're going to get some good results with that. Let's see, what else? What else was on the list that you wanted me to talk about?
Well, you had a lot of, you know, fairly big budget marketing activities. And of course, with the multiple schools, it ends up being $14,000 to $25,000 a month. But things that are applicable to the smaller schools as well, you know, something, and going back to Steve White, that I've experimented with in the past, but mean to get more focused on. Steve, talk to us about the time you had, 80 calls from Valpak?
Yes.
And that was because he just said something that sparked that. That was an 8.5x11 trifold insert, correct?
Yes, it was. It was a two-sided sales letter on one side. The backside had the PSs and a follow-up offer, and it was just filled with testimonies.
Yeah. And how many calls did you get on that one?
I don't remember how many calls. I remember 78 sign-ups.
78 enrollments.
78 enrollments over about a 6-7 week period. There was two mailers that went out with that in it, because I had already done that and did well with it, so I really kind of gave up on the idea. And then
I was hearing that you should do more of a 8.5 by 11 folder on goldenrod paper and all this stuff,
yeah.
And that seemed to make a huge difference for us.
Yeah, that was a pure, you know, Stephen Oliver-ish direct marketing, Dan Kennedy from Mike Storms, I think.
Yes.
Or maybe it was a Keith Hafner piece from Mike Storms.
Can I ask whether you've run that multiple times, though? I mean, you had success with it one time, but have you continued to run that?
What I saw was is the more I ran it, it started diminishing. And what we did is last year we switched to Stephen Oliver's one page that we also used very successfully as a insert in the newspaper, 8.5 by 11 drop in my daily newspaper here, targeting specific zip codes. And again, well, we did the same thing. We took the I think it's your Karate's the Best Thing I Ever Did for My Child with the picture of the child. And we did a two-sided, though, and we filled the back full of testimonies, but we also put a couple of testimonies on the front.
Yeah.
So it just seemed like running the same one, it went out gangbusters, and it slowly started to fade. But I only do it like three times a year. So then we waited, and this time around we just changed the ad, and we didn't get quite the same spike, but it was still it jumped back up again from what it was dropping off.
Okay. And, you know, I think you may have a dynamic in something like Valpak where you end up with 95% of the people who get in the mail throw it away, and I don't know if that's the right number, but, you know, some chunk just throw it away. Some chunk are looking for the coupons. And so if you get 70 or 80 enrollments from a 10,000-piece mailer one time, you've pretty much hammered the ones who are going to pay attention the first time.
That's a good point.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing there is thinking differently than what, especially the coupon mailers will never tell you to do that. You know, they tell you to do their little thing and do it one-sided and do it in color and make it look pretty. Well, you know, if you're McDonald's, that works great, but if you're us, that doesn't work all that well.
Right, but that was just a black and white flyer, too. Black and white on goldenrod?
Yeah, it was a goldenrod paper with black print. That was it.
Yeah.
It should have been cheaper. Did they do that for you, and they just printed it and inserted it for you?
The Valpak people?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. I gave them, you know, a black and white off my computer what I wanted, and they did the printing and the whole thing. And the newspaper did the same thing for me.
Yeah, now, and there's a guy who... I'm trying to remember his name. He's one of the Dan Kennedy guys. But he does, like, you may have seen him. He comes through and he does, like, a hypnosis clinic to lose weight and, like, a hypnosis clinic to stop smoking. And he goes into the Valpaks and money mailers with, so it's actually 11 by 17, folded in half, and then trifolded. And apparently does extremely well with that.
Master Oliver, I have one other thing.
Go ahead.
This is Daphne. One thing that we did different with our birthday party this time, and we got a huge response. We've already gotten two calls back from the birthday party. But this was a little 8-year-old boy birthday party, and these kids were climbing all over the Wavemasters when their parents dropped them off, running around, screaming, jumping, waving their arms. One thing we did is we had them earn white belts, and we also had them earn attitude stripes.
Right.
By the time they were leaving, they said, "Thank you, ma'am," to me, "Thank you, sir," to Mr. Galloway. They were picking up their trash. Parents couldn't believe it. So that was one thing that made a difference.
Okay, fantastic. So really treating it like it was an introductory class.
Exactly.
As opposed to treating it like it was entertainment. I hope everybody has a happy holiday, and we'll rock and roll at the beginning of the new year.